WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. A record number of travelers are expected to hit the road or take to the skies this Thanksgiving week. CBS News senior transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve says American Airlines is trying a new boarding system to make flying smoother. No more rushing to the gate before your boarding group has been called.
The crowd bum-rushing the gate door when boarding starts has been dubbed gate lice by some irked flyers, though airlines simply call it gate crowding.
We had heard for a while from our customers that this was something really important to them.
American Airlines Senior VP Julie Rath.
We're seeing an improvement in the boarding flow.
Betty Harper is fighting the crowds at Reagan National Airport.
We have more family coming from Chicago, New York, and we came from Nashville. Yes, it'll get crazy. My son says it takes 2 hours to get out of Chicago. They're driving.
If you're driving, AAA says the roads will likely be the most congested Tuesday afternoon. His first day in office. That's when President-elect Donald Trump is threatening to impose 25% tariffs on all goods from Mexico and Canada. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says the tariffs could slow economic growth.
After expanding by an expected 2.4% this year, most economists are penciling in a lower rate of growth for the economy next year, closer to 2%. That's due to a combination of tariffs and mass deportations, both of which could lead to higher prices and slower growth.
Trump also plans to raise tariffs on Chinese goods by 10%. Some food pantries across the country are running short for the holidays. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Amanda Starantino visited a pantry in Newhall, California.
As the executive director of the Santa Clarita Valley Food Pantry, Joanne Ainsworth helps to recover food that would otherwise go to waste from local grocery stores. When she started here just a year ago, the pantry estimated about 2,000 to 3,000 families came every month. Now they are supporting more than 7,000 and counting.
What we hear is that we're the last kind of bastion of hope between them becoming unhoused.
Several Ukrainian cities have come under attack for a third straight night. CBS News correspondent Charlie Daggett is at the Pentagon.
U.S. officials tell CBS News that Russia has launched yet another round of drones and missile strikes toward Kyiv and other cities overnight, largely targeting Ukrainian infrastructure, the energy grid, in an effort to overwhelm the country's air defenses.
Analysts say Russian forces are advancing in Ukraine at the fastest rate since the early days of the war 2 years ago. Russia has captured 91 square miles in the last week. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Giannis named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That after leading the Bucks to a four-game winning streak. Right now, Giannis, averaging over 32 points a game, is the most in the NBA. The Bucks are in Miami to play the Heat. NFL, Packers safety Xavier McKinney made his seventh interception of the season against the 49ers Sunday night. The ball intended for Deebo Samuel. I asked McKinney what happened next.
So I just played for the tip, and luckily it bounced right to me. I was in the right spot, and I was able to make a play.
The Packers host the Dolphins Thursday night, kickoff at 7:20. Badgers football on Friday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota at 11 a.m., playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
Regardless if it's Friday at 11 o'clock or if they'd have put it at Saturday at night. It comes down to a one-game season. It comes down to a battle for an axe. And anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong to either one of these places.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few clouds around in the overnight. West to northwest winds just a bit on the gusty side as temperatures tumble into the upper teens. On your Tuesday, we'll see sunny to mostly sunny skies as some high clouds work in. Lighter winds, highs in the upper 20s to lower 30s. Right now, it's 19.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll find out what's grinding his gears. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Jess Watkinsell coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Calvin is off for a week.
Oh my gosh.
Good for him. He deserves it. Jess, thank you for slipping in and taking over for Calvin this week.
Of course.
Really appreciate it. Lots of things coming up for you on the show today. Start thinking now about Wisconsin's most notorious speed traps. Lots of people, millions of people are going to be hitting the road this week.
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving. And this came up in the general chat here at Civic Media earlier this morning. And look out for this place. And oh, look out for this place. And oh, never, don't get pulled over in Plover. So we would love to know where your speed traps are. And you can give your fellow drivers a little heads up.
Yeah.
As we prepare to go over the river and through the woods and all that stuff for Thanksgiving. That will come up at 10:30. Dr. Kristen Lyerly here at 11:06. Mm-hmm. Lots of things to talk about with her, unfortunately, and I'm very curious to get her take on the Trump cabinet appointees of Dr. Oz and Robert Kennedy Jr. taking over our healthcare systems. I have a feeling she may have some thoughts on that. Just a couple. 11:33, we're going to lighten it up and talk about what you have been watching to escape.
Yeah.
And I stumbled on something new on Netflix, and I kind of binge watched all of, over the weekend.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about this.
Yeah, and it's aimed at seniors.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You do.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yes, it is.
It's really good, and even if you're not a person of a certain age,
yeah,
I think it's worth a lot of laughs.
I agree.
So we would love to hear what you have been watching lately to escape, whether it's on streaming. Whatever you're watching. And then we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Missing Shoe Edition. If you ever have a thing which should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. A reminder as well, you can get all of your news that you need. Real news, great conversations. Stay in the know just by subscribing to the Civic Media newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And where our news team is scattered all over the state, and they curate things specifically for wherever you are. So if you're in Oshkosh or you're in Hayward or Park Falls, for example, go to civicmedia.us/email and subscribe to the Civic Media newsletter. Do it today. It is absolutely free, and make sure that you download the Civic Media app. I did want to start off this morning with Popcorn King Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
The Popcorn King.
He made an appearance on WISN's Upfront over the weekend, and he has some thoughts about numerous things.
Oh.
This was pretty, I mean, he hopes former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman is disbarred so he's never allowed to practice law in Wisconsin again. Woof.
I mean, I won't disagree with the Assembly Speaker / Popcorn King about this. I 100% agree.
Voss hired Gableman, of course, to review the 2020 election before later firing him. Last week, the Wisconsin Office of Lawyer Regulation filed a complaint accusing Michael Gableman of numerous ethical violations during his review. I guess it just irritates me so much that all of these violations were kind of in plain sight as this investigation was going on. And it was like, well, that's all fine.
Yeah.
That's good. No worries. It's just, yeah, keep spending money. Go to another Mike Lindell symposium where he had all of the proof that the election was stolen in 2020 and yet never came up with anything.
I mean, also trying to get the mayor of Green Bay arrested, trying to extort property from people. I mean, this is all going. And by the way, everyone, just so you know, you paid for this.
We paid for this.
You, Wisconsinites, we footed the bill for this weird, excellent adventure of his. And
yeah,
the fact, and we've used this before.
Robin's expensive adventure.
Yes. We will use this before, and we'll keep on saying it. Robin Voss has stated that the 2020 election was safe and fair and secure. And we really didn't need a $2 million report. And I'm doing air quotes for people who aren't watching the live stream.
Yeah.
To tell us this, especially from a guy who was nothing more than like Wisconsin's Mike Lindell, only maybe just even like a worse version.
A step below.
Yeah.
What is,
ooh, low rent, ooh, Mike Lindell. Ow. Oh my God.
Youch.
Oh yeah. So yet, you know.
I know. I know. As I look at what the Office of Lawyer Regulation is saying happened, it's an embarrassment for anybody who practices law, Robin Voss said on WISN's Upfront. So I certainly hope Michael Gableman loses his law license. I hope he goes back to work at Home Depot, where he was working prior to working for us. Ow.
Okay, now, Robin, you're really kind of talking about your own selection choices here. This isn't really about, like your burn is really a self-burn, too. Like, you could have hired a lot of people, but you went to your local Home Depot, saw M. Gables, and just like,
that's the guy.
Didn't you wear a robe and get paid for it? You should help us. Like, you chose him, Robin.
Right.
So what does that say about you in the long run? Huh? Okay, me.
Interesting point.
Thank you.
He also talked about people should come back to work.
Oh, he had other opinions?
He has other opinions.
Oh, lots of them.
And lots of opinions.
Yeah.
And I guess, and I really would love to know what people think about this. Mm-hmm. Should people still be allowed to work from home or should they all have to come back to the office? I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. But what kills me about Robin Voss being critical of people working from home is this is the guy who works for 2 months out of the year and it's a full-time job.
Yeah. But when he's there, Jane, he's sort of there most of the time and he gets some work.
Is he 300% invested?
He's definitely 71 to 74% invested if he's not flying to other countries on our dimes for, you know,
he has
meetings
to attend important things.
Yeah. And he told us exactly what he thinks about working from home, especially for this is regarding Wisconsin state employees.
Exactly. Jess, if we can, let's play that first clip from Robin Voss yesterday on WISN's Upfront.
I think we need to look and say, how are we going to keep Wisconsin competitive? In my mind, that's by making sure we have people who are working for the state of Wisconsin. We still have far too many employees that are working from home. We had that audit that came out over the summer. I think it was some employees hadn't been in the office in months and months.
State employees.
You can relate to
that. That's really an embarrassment. So number one, we need to make sure people are actually doing their job.
You want to force them back into the office?
I would love to be able to say people have to be back in the office at least 3 or 4 days a week. I mean, we saw Amazon, which was 3 days a week, just announced by January 1st, 100% of people are going to be back in the office. I think we need to look at how state government functions, and one of the reasons that we have not had the services we want to deliver is because a lot of employees aren't working, or they're working only from home and not doing it very well with little supervision. What? So I would love for us to be able to say, hey, if we're going to be giving more money to agencies, we need to make sure we're actually performing.
Well, okay.
There's a lot to unpack with all the, because those words
come, very fast talker.
Those words come at you high speed.
Yeah.
That's some high speed garble.
Very, very fast talker there. First of all, I love that he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed that people aren't showing up are coming into the office. Come on, Robin.
Yeah.
Give us all a break.
You're not coming to the office.
You don't see the that irony doesn't just jump out and jump on your face like an alien.
Also, he said something at the end. He said, people aren't showing up to work if they don't. I can't remember the exact wording, but basically what he described is someone who doesn't have a job with the state of Wisconsin because they're not coming into the office. If you don't come to the office or you don't work from home, you don't work for them. You don't have a job. But this audit he refers to as well.
Well, right.
There was an audit that was done late last year and it was spoken about in springtime. And I don't know about you, Jane, but if you are a person who is, no pun intended, interested in working remotely, the competitiveness of a state might hinder on how many remote jobs are available.
Okay.
So like if you live in Wisconsin and you can work from home and work for Wisconsin, that makes Wisconsin more competitive. That makes you look more attractive to people looking for jobs in a remote setting. He said that he wants us to remain competitive, and that somehow is tied to the idea of having people working in the office. I don't agree with that. I think if you have remote work opportunities, that makes you more competitive. That makes you more attractive to people because some individuals just want to work from home now. And if you can work for a state and you get good benefits and you get decent pay and you work hard, then that's a great thing.
Well, the other question I have, though, is they did an audit.
Mm-hmm.
I assume to determine whether or not people were getting work done.
Yes.
So did the audit show that people are not? That's not what he said.
Well, yeah, he just said there was an audit. He didn't really bring out. And there is an article that I will put in. It is from March when they had a discussion, a 3-hour discussion in Wisconsin, in Madison about this. It's a Wisconsin Examiner article. And at one point, Representative Mark Bourne, he's a Republican from Beaver Dam, says this. The surveys all say from almost every agency that remote work is better, efficiency is better, these things are all better, but there's no data to support it. I don't know. Maybe the surveys you are reading are saying those things. And if there was such a tanking in services and a problem,
wouldn't that be reflected?
We'd know something at this point. There would be something. There'd be a story out saying, oh my gosh, after so many years of remote working, you can't get this or that. No, it's really not. This notion that you have to work in an office to get things done is so antiquated and just kind of like, to me, sounds like he's towing the line for corporate America who want people to work in their offices again because they're paying for them.
For these buildings.
They're paying real estate
yes,
prices.
And that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Do you work remotely? Would you like to work remotely? Do you oversee people who work remotely? Let us know. I'm curious. How is it working? And do you think it's a mistake? Should people be going back to the office, whether you want to or not?
Yeah.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, I've been reading up on the policies of all the presidential candidates with an eye on my wallet. And former President Trump has been talking up a new 20% tax on goods from other countries. It's called a tariff.
I did some research, and it's not sounding good for the prices that we pay. A tariff is just a tax that the government charges to businesses when they bring goods into the country. And the National Retail Federation says that tariffs force small businesses to raise prices or just eat those costs. And typically, big corporations just pass those prices on to consumers. The Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center says that, quote, Trump's tariffs would significantly raise the prices of imported goods since they'd mostly be passed on to consumers. And I know prices are not rising like they were. I mean, hooray for that. But man, I still can't afford to pay 20% more for things. We will keep you posted on how this develops. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Here she comes in a suit and tie, a shepherd's bush and a leopard's pie. She's marching to the funky beat of James Brown and his dancing feet. Gonna set your fish on fire.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Jess P.S. on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Talking about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss yesterday was appearing on WISN's Upfront and talking about state employees. He wants them back in the office because they're not doing anything. They're not doing any work.
Yeah.
They're just not getting it done.
This notion that working from home means everyone's suffering and nothing gets done. And
so, yeah. So the question is, do you work remotely?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting things done?
Yep.
Do you oversee people who work remotely? Are they not getting things done?
Yeah. Is there a problem?
Yeah. Is there a problem with working remotely? Bridget works remotely.
She's been working remotely nearly for 5 years now. She goes to the office maybe once or twice a month, but she's been working steadily from home since the second week of March of 2020.
Since the pandemic.
Yep. Yep. And she
is she just lying around eating bonbons
currently,
all day?
She's currently sleeping right now, I think. And then after her nap, she's going to take her afternoon nap and then she's going to think about working. Okay. No, I'm not kidding you. She wakes up around the same time I do.
And that's early.
That's early. And I get to work. She walks the dog and then she goes right into her office and she'll work until 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night.
So she's probably working longer hours than she would if she were in the office.
Possibly, but she's not working and she's getting things done. And this and once again, this notion that working from home is just such a cause for lack of services. I really think it's towing this corporate mentality of we have these buildings, we're paying on these buildings. You need to be in the building because I need to see you working, because it's an old timey way of looking at business.
Andrew from Maine on the live stream says, I've been working remote since November of 2011. I started as a call center rep, transitioned to a direct supervisor position, and then to a data analyst job within the same company, all while remote.
And in that message, by the way, he has reported no downfalls in services and capabilities. I feel like if there was some sort of ingrained failure in business or customer service, we'd know about him right now.
It would have come down the system, yeah, right? We would have seen these terrible outcomes.
And quite possibly Robin Voss in his 3,000 mile a minute word salad that he said on Upfront that we were listening to, he would have given us specific instances in where working remote from home was affecting the Wisconsin citizens. And if that's the case, then okay, let's look at that. But he just says, throws it out there, they need to be working in the office. If we're working from home, Jess, can we play that clip again, please?
He goes really, really quickly.
Yeah.
I think we need to look and say, how are we going to keep Wisconsin competitive? In my mind, that's by making sure we have people who are working for the state of Wisconsin. We still have far too many employees that are working from home. We had that audit that came out over the summer. I think it was some employees hadn't been in the office in months and months.
State
employees. But that's really an embarrassment. So number one, we need to make sure people are actually doing their job.
You want to force them back into the office?
I would love to be able to say people have to be back in the office at least 3 or 4 days a week. I mean, we saw Amazon, which was 3 days a week, just announced by January 1st, 100% of people are going to be back in the office. I think we need to look at how state government functions, and one of the reasons that we have not had the services we want to deliver is because a lot of employees aren't working, or they're working only from home and not doing it very well with little supervision. So I would love for us to be able to say, hey, if we're going to be giving more money to agencies, we need to make sure we're actually performing.
There's just so much happening with that statement, and none of it makes a lick of sense to me.
Well, I want to share this. Alicia on the live stream says, meanwhile, Robin Voss is taking almost $60,000 a year from Wisconsinites to work a couple of months.
Yes. Yes. Yep, absolutely.
Very much so.
This notion that they're not getting, once again, give me evidence of work not being done, then replace those individuals.
Well, and I love that, okay, we did an audit which determined that the employees hadn't been in the office. But the audit then did not determine whether or not work was getting done.
Well, and the survey said,
well, what a useless audit.
I mean, as the quote I gave, the survey all says from almost every agency, remote work is better, efficiency is better. There are things that are all better, but there's no data to support it. The surveys are the data, sir.
Right?
This talking around and around and around is just garbledygook and garbage, and we have people working from home. It's embarrassing. No, actually, if you are a state agency or you are state government and you can give remote jobs to people, that's an attractive quality for that group.
I thought this was the wave of the future.
I thought
working remotely was the wave of the future.
Yeah, I really infuriates me. He reminds me of Mitch McConnell, where he just says whatever he wants. There's no call for details. I mean,
where's the stop down for specifics?
Yeah, no, he's got to keep going. He's got to keep talking. And that interview, by the way, is like 13 minutes. It's a long interview.
Well, we will include that in our show notes. Rob from Fort Edwards, we've got about a minute and a half. Rob, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning, folks. I'll keep this short. My daughter is a sociology social worker for Wood County, and she has implemented working split time from home and from work in house to start a program where they're administering meds in house to get these individuals that are substance abuse, whether it's drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. They're starting to do this in house that they never would have done had she not stepped up. And this is from a mother of five, wouldn't work this job if it was full time, but she's, you know, running 100 miles an hour, both in and out of the facility and at home, and she's getting things done. And kudos to her and the program now that Wood County's actually accepted it. I've got plenty of friends that are working from home. They're knocking it out of the park for their respective employers, getting bonuses and raises and all this stuff. I don't think that Republicans really realize what they're asking for here. This is some old troglodytes that just haven't got a clue.
You get an award for working in troglodytes.
Troglodyte.
That's a word that I don't think we've ever even had on this show.
Thank you very much for calling, Rob.
Thank you so much, Rob. News is coming up next. We'll keep this conversation going. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Crunch time is fast approaching for Thanksgiving travelers. AAA says roads will be most congested Tuesday afternoon. Canadian Nicole Golder and her family crossed the border to fly out of Detroit.
My husband and I kind of delegate. He does a lot of all the tickets and the passports and things like that, make sure that he has all that situated. And then I take care of all the packing and the clothes and the snacks and all that kind of stuff.
Food pantries are struggling to keep up with demand. Joanne Ainsworth runs a pantry in Newhall, California.
The amount of people that have come and signed up every week, it's astronomical. Some days it's 10 new families.
President-elect Donald Trump says he will impose 25% tariffs on all goods from Mexico and Canada on his first day in office. Veronique de Rugy is a senior research fellow at George Mason University.
Tariffs are going to increase prices. It's different from inflation. It works differently, but the results are the same.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Giannis named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That after leading the Bucks to a four-game winning streak. Right now, Giannis, averaging over 32 points a game, is the most in the NBA. The Bucks are in Miami to play the Heat. NFL, Packers safety Xavier McKinney made his seventh interception of the season against the 49ers Sunday night. The ball intended for Deebo Samuel. I asked McKinney what happened next.
So I just played for the tip, and luckily it bounced right to me. I was in the right spot, and I was able to make a play.
The Packers host the Dolphins Thursday night, kickoff at 7:20. Badgers football on Friday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota at 11 a.m., playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
Regardless if it's Friday at 11 o'clock or if they'd have put it at Saturday at night. It comes down to a one-game season. It comes down to a battle for an axe, and anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong to either one of these places.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A few clouds around in the overnight. West to northwest winds just a bit on the gusty side as temperatures tumble into the upper teens. On your Tuesday, we'll see sunny to mostly sunny skies as some high clouds work in. Lighter winds, highs in the upper 20s to lower 30s. Right now, it's 19.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, overtime with Maggie Dawn, plus Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel. She's going after the fake electors. Trump might get a pass, but the Republicans in Michigan won't. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Give me half a chance, cause I'm not dead yet.
It's Thanksgiving week. We're gonna do what we want.
Now's the time on Sprockets when we dance.
Yes, yes. Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Jess P.S. on the board in for Calvin, who's got the week off, a very well-deserved vacation for Calvin. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. In just a little bit, we're going to talk about giving each other a heads up about speed traps around Wisconsin. A lot of folks are going to be hitting the roads probably even tomorrow.
Yeah.
And there are some speed traps in Wisconsin that are apparently pretty famous. So let's help each other out and give each other a little heads up. We're going to do that in just a little bit. Before we went to the news, though, we were talking about Robin Voss appearing on WISN's Upfront yesterday and talking about people who work remotely for the government, and he wants them all to come back. So we've just been asking, do you work remotely? Do you know someone who does? Are they not working? Are they not getting things done? Andrew from Maine pointed out, because they did an audit last year, and they determined that employees had not been back to the office, but there was nothing about productivity.
Yeah.
That seems like kind of a useless audit. And then Andrew points out, Jane, I assume the audit showed the work was just as productive, but did not support Voss's position. So he just left that part out.
Well, that's what I was. No, there is data in there that shows that the agency said that the work, I'm going to repeat it again, the work, remote work is better, efficiency is better, and these things are all better. These are what the agency told them for the audit. But because there was no, like, there wasn't a pile of money or a bunch of happy citizens, Representative Mark Bourne from Beaver Dam said, well, there's no data to support it. No, the data from your agencies and your department heads, that's the support. So, of course, they're going to make it seem like, well, we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure.
If only
so
we knew.
If only we had a way, if only they would have handed out pieces of paper or a website where they could fill out a report and given their true, honest feelings at working at home. If only they had done that. Oh, all of the information we'd have.
Jess?
I mean, come on. If the productivity is better, I mean, we know that people are saving money on gas. We know that they're saving time on commutes.
Child care.
There are a lot of benefits. And I'm not saying that working from home is ideal for everyone.
It obviously cannot work. Right.
But it is an option. It's a viable option for a lot of people. For a lot of people, it's a really great way for them to engage in the workforce while also balancing the other needs of their lives. I don't see why it has to be one size fits all of you need to be in a cubicle in order to be a productive member of society. It doesn't track.
And not everyone works the same.
No.
Not everyone works the same.
And I want to go back to something he said in that clip from Upfront, which, by the way, the Upfront clip is in the show notes, as well as the article from the Wisconsin Examiner talking about the audit sessions that happened in March. He said he wants to make Wisconsin more competitive. What makes you more competitive? A state that says, do you want to work for the state of Wisconsin? Do you need to work remote? Do you want to work hybrid? We have options for you because we understand childcare is a thing. Transportation is a thing. So we here in Wisconsin want to make sure not only can your private businesses have those options, but we want that too. That's an attractive, competitive point about this state. To say I want to be competitive and then eliminate an option for working, you don't understand. You are a business owner, sir. Do you understand what being competitive means?
That's a really good point. And I think that kind of flexibility is even more important for younger workers and for younger people. And we know that Wisconsin has a hard time attracting young families.
Yes.
So like you say, Greg, if you want to make it more attractive, if you want to say, you know, you, like you said, we have many options.
Yes.
For what works for you. Why would you? Yeah, it's very short sighted, isn't it?
It's incredibly short. It also reeks of someone who just doesn't understand how the world's working now and is. I believe, I think either I said it or someone else, it's towing the line of traditional corporatism and that idea you have to be in the office 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. I need to see you. I need to see you at your cubicle. I need to see you doing work. That proves nothing.
No, it really doesn't.
And so, yeah, I think it's whether it's the fact that he has an old school mentality, outdated mentality, or he has buddies of his in the big corporate sectors. Like, we need to get them back to work. I'm paying like $10,000 a month on this building, and I got like half people. Well,
yeah,
that's not my problem, buddy. That's big business problem. That's the marketplace, baby. You can't afford it. Move.
But that's something that I thought about from the very beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah,
is the last thing, and even municipalities. The last thing municipalities are going to want is more people working from home because they lose the tax base of these businesses.
Possibly.
If they don't have to have these big facilities.
We got two great texts on the text line. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK, says, I work 100% from home. I find that I work more overtime from home because I'll just do one more thing. And I'm salaried, so no extra money for me. So, I mean, she's doing the work. It's not getting done. And I feel the same way, too. I have access to my jobs from home. So I find myself on a Sunday or a Saturday, if I can just pop on my computer for an hour and do something, I don't log it in. I just need to get it done and move on.
Yep.
But then Jim from Appleton, listening to WGBW, says, and this is what I was just talking about
Robin Voss.
Yeah. Let's not forget his largest portion of his income is a landlord. Oh, I imagine he is sitting on more than a few empty office buildings. That could be another thing too.
That's a very interesting thing that you bring
up. It's almost like, Jane, it's self-interest?
Self-serving?
Couldn't be.
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
No. He wouldn't do that.
He's of the people. His popcorn for all.
As long as you pay for it.
Ah!
He also had some thoughts, Robin Voss, during yesterday's appearance on Upfront on WISN about Wisconsin education and money for education. Jess, let's play clip number two, please.
When Wisconsin enacted that budget, we had the largest increase in education spending in literally a generation since 2004, 2005. So we did our job to make sure that we had enough for schools, for health care. We had a large increase for nursing homes, all kinds of good investments in our top priorities. We just had a huge investment in education. We saw referenda around the state where the people of Wisconsin, as we've said, they have the right to raise their own taxes. We're not going to do it. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to say, let's put the money back in the hands of people who need it for themselves.
The billions in referendum, doesn't that show, though, that education needs more money from the
Absolutely
state?
Absolutely not. It's the opposite.
Ah!
There are some parts of Wisconsin where people want to spend more money, and they have every right to do that. If they want to raise their taxes at the ballot box, I support that idea. The idea that we're going to do it for them and take the burden on for every single district if it was the same, that's just wrong for the state.
Okay, Robin. Lots to unpack there.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots to unpack.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason that they had to hold all these referendums after this latest budget, which did improve the funding.
Yeah. There were increases.
There were increases because they haven't done it for decades.
Yeah.
They have been slowly starving school districts for years and years and years. So please don't come forward and go, aren't we fantastico? Look what we did.
Well,
and now,
Jane,
you want to raise taxes on yourselves? Well, that's on you.
I mean, they didn't feed you for weeks and weeks and weeks, but now we gave you a two-course meal. Aren't you satisfied?
You should be full.
I think that, you know, once again, this is another thing where he's kind of burning himself. Because remember, Robin Voss has been in the assembly for 20 years. He's the longest serving Wisconsin politician, I believe. No one's been in office longer than him at the state level. The fact that he says with just all the pride in the world, I shouldn't use pride, I don't know how he feels about gay people, but the point is, with pride in his face, he says, we made the largest increase in a generation. Why did we have to make a large increase in a generation?
Yes.
Instead of saying we make incremental changes over the years, over every biennium, we make those changes. Instead, you make the largest increase, which still puts us at about anywhere between seven. I think when I looked at the report, it said $15,000 to $16,000 per student. It's fine. It's not great, but there can be more. There should be more. There's a surplus. We have money to spend, and you shouldn't have to make municipalities raise their own taxes. So that's the thing, is like, they're like, we'll never raise your taxes.
We don't mind if you do.
Oh, exactly. It's your fault, then. Exactly. Absolutely. The legislature didn't do that. You did that to yourselves.
And I want to make clear too, the clip we just played, I did edit it to keep the education information together, because he, once again, speaks very quickly.
He really does.
And moves from topic to topic, and he moved around on education. I wanted to make sure that you heard everything there. So that is edited, but just to keep education together. But this notion of this notion that municipalities holding elections, referendums on their ballots saying we need to raise our property taxes to pay for education, him saying, no, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. The state doesn't need to do anything. We shouldn't get involved at all. We did the one thing ever in 20 years. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Why?
And
are
now
you,
we're done.
We're done. We'll see you in another 20 years.
Yeah. Alicia, on the live stream, the number of people at doors who were ticked off about school referenda was astronomical. People are so over the state not doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, and that $4 billion in surplus? I'll bet all my pocket money against all your pocket money. What he wants to do with that surplus money?
Tax cuts for rich people?
Ding, 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 ding.
I really had to stretch for that one.
Oh, my mother was, glory.
I couldn't possibly
Jane, you're
think,
a genius. You should be on Jeopardy.
We do have one more clip.
Yeah.
I believe in the, 4 minutes we have left in this segment. Let's talk about budget requests. Jess, play clip number 3 from Robin Voss, please.
The governor, in his statement talking about the surplus, looked to the next state budget, as I'm sure you saw. WisPolitics, our editorial partner, reports agencies requesting $2.1 billion in additional general purpose revenue in the first year of the new budget, $1.3 billion in the second. Revenue's obviously going up as well. In your mind, from what you have seen so far, what is dead on arrival?
We're not going to give $1 billion to the university. I can tell you that's probably not going to happen. I think it's unlikely that we're going to give Superintendent Underley's request for this massive increase in education spending when we just gave the largest increase in a generation like 18 months ago.
Self-burn.
So that is nothing but a political document from her.
Education, you're on your own. After they've been constantly gutting the UW system, gutting it to build the Bucks Arena, let's never forget that. Also, we're closing down campuses all across the state. We're not repurposing and trying to make education more accessible and more affordable. No, let's just shut them down and you don't get your money.
Well, and what's really tragic about that, I think, and because Todd Alba and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
And he's a big proponent of these, 2-year campuses.
Yes.
And what that means for smaller outstate communities.
Yes.
It's so important for city areas like Richland Center and those, again, those communities, and giving those kids access to higher education. It's really tragic.
I mean, Waukesha isn't a small city. It's a medium. It is what it is, but they're closing their campus to a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
And now what are we going to do with it?
Jake from Madison texting in, listening on WXCO. I'm tired of more of my property taxes going to schools while the state fails to keep up its end of the bargain. I think a lot of people feel like
that. Well, don't worry, Jake. They're working on it pretty hard. They're going to, because remember something really quick here. That money that's coming out of your property taxes to fund the public school system, a portion of that will be diverted to vouchers that are untrackable, have no standards.
And they're not accountable.
They're not accountable
they're
whatsoever.
Not accountable.
So don't forget, Jake, you're not just talking about one school system. You're talking about two school systems.
Yep, we are funding two completely separate school systems. That is correct. All right, we're going to move on and then come back and talk about speed traps around Wisconsin. Let's give each other the heads up before everybody hits the road. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Life is quite absurd.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Jess P.S. on the board in for Calvin, who's taking a well-deserved week off. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Love that song, Jess. That actually is the closing number at my memorial service.
Oh, I love that.
And yeah. I've seen interviews with some members of Monty Python who said, "Oh yeah, it's a big crowd pleaser.
It's the most requested song at funerals."
I love that song, and just especially on a Monday, sometimes we just need a little bit of that.
Absolutely, yes, got to look on the bright side every once in a while. All right, lots of people are going to be hitting the road. A record number of Wisconsinites, according to WPR. Expected to travel for Thanksgiving. AAA says nearly 1.6 million people will drive or fly this weekend. The last record for Thanksgiving travel in Wisconsin recorded by AAA was back in 2019.
Wait, what was the number again?
1.6 million residents.
Of Wisconsin.
Of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Expected to drive or fly this weekend. Oh, yeah. Not nationally. I'll much, much higher.
I'll be one of those people too.
You will? When are you leaving?
We leave Friday morning.
Okay, so you're not...
We're not traveling
on Thanksgiving. Not doing on Wednesday.
Thank goodness. Oh, no. Good God, no. No, thank you.
Jess, do you travel very far for Thanksgiving?
I do not. My parents and both of my husband's sets of parents live fairly close by, so we do quite a bit of crisscrossing across Milwaukee and Waukesha counties, but that's the extent.
That's not so terrible.
That's okay.
It's not like you get to drive halfway across the state. But still, it's going to be crowded and busy. And we want to share your favorite, as it were, speed trips. This came up in the general conversation here at Civic Media this morning.
It's a great thing to wake up to on a Monday morning.
I just thought it was so interesting because my husband and I go 10 minutes to my sister's.
Yeah.
Which is the way I like it. And but I know there are a lot of folks that travel and you go over the river and through the woods and all that stuff. So apparently you want to avoid plover. Don't get pulled over in Plover.
Come on.
Jimmy Cuska said that Wisconsin's official state speed trap is in Rosendale.
What does that mean? Like
just an infamous speed trap.
But do you get like a souvenir sticker or something with your ticket?
Is there a museum, a t-shirt? I got pulled over in Rosendale and all I got was this lousy ticket.
It can't be official.
If there's no merch, it's not a thing.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Anyone agree? Anyone listening have experience with speeding in Rosendale, Wisconsin? 855-752-4842. I'm very curious.
All of their lawyers have advised them not to admit to speeding.
I thought it was Wyacena. Cops to love to sit at the fork heading south on 22. Another one of our colleagues said Wisconsin Dells is great for speed trips.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. You're either like, I just imagine on Sunday the amount of like grumpy dads like, we're leaving and just trying to get out of town. Yeah, I betcha.
Oh, in through the Dells?
Yeah.
Most definitely. Another colleague says, when I went to Illinois Saturday, I didn't see a single cop until I got to Kenosha County.
Yep.
And then I saw them all over the place.
I was telling you this weekend, I was driving home and somewhere is either in Racine or Kenosha counties that I saw a police officer pulling someone over on the right side of the road. And then down, you could see them on the left side of the road. And then when I hit like a hilly area, there was another. So like in a half a mile, I saw three. I'm hoping it was like a Fast and Furious gang of boys who just like
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you so much for joining us. So you have experience in Rosendale.
Yeah. I'm from Fond du Lac, but then we moved to Rosendale and there is merch.
Yes. They actually
the original convenience.
I'm sorry, go ahead,
Troy. The original convenience store in Rosendale has a shirt that says, on top it says Rosendale, and then it has a cop car with the lights on it. You can see, it's not a picture, but it's a drawing. And then underneath it, it says, that's the ticket.
Oh, that is really funny, Troy.
Yep.
That is really, really
funny. When I was over the road, I was in Kentucky one day. And somebody had one of those shirts on, and I knew everybody in Rosendale because it's small.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't know you. And they're like, oh, yeah, we were up there for something driving through, and we just had to buy this shirt.
That is so funny, Troy. Now I think we're going to have to do a road trip to Rosendale just to get merch.
At the proper speed limit. The thing is, folks, here, and allow me to be Grumpy Greg right now, you don't have to worry about speed traps if you're not speeding.
There's that.
The more
that's
you know.
A fair point.
That is a fair point. But I mean, if they snag you for going, you know, three over,
well, I'm
is
fighting
that not being a little overzealous?
I'm fighting that in court. There's no, you're not pulling me.
Because I drive five over usually.
Yeah, I'm usually driving on the freeway no more than 10 over, on regular roads no more than five over.
My God, you speed devils.
Are you right at the speed limit?
No.
Yeah, I was, if you would have said yes, I wouldn't have bought it for a second.
No. Sounding awfully mindy.
Our sit-in resident youngster, I don't believe it for a second.
Michaela from West Bend texting in. She says the border traps aren't looking for speeders. They're looking for marijuana. But doesn't speeding...
God, dumb state.
But speeding gives them the excuse to pull them over.
Yeah, but still, we're looking for the pot, the wacky tobacco, the devil's lettuce.
Well, that's across the border, my friend.
I don't know anything about that. I don't go to Illinois.
The devil's lettuce.
You've never heard that?
You've never heard that?
No.
Oh, Jane.
News is... Look at what you learn. News is coming up next. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Always look on the bright side of life, side of life, side of life.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Maggie Dawn.
Next, political editor Dan Schaaf. We discuss how Democrats discuss race and racial justice. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.